Chapter 8. The Supreme Science of Contact. It would be useful if you attempted to master and to assimilate what I have to impart, anent the three great sciences which form the three modes of expression of what we might term the supreme science of contact. These three sciences are all equally interdependent and all related to the art of responsiveness. They are 1. The science of impression, the will to be, relation to the spiritual triad, source of emanation, a Shambhala, connected with the abstract mind. 2. The science of invocation and evocation, love or attraction, relation to the soul in all forms, source of emanation, at this time, the hierarchy, connected with the lower mind as the agent of the soul. 3. The science of telepathy, mind, human intelligence, relation to the personality, source of emanation, humanity itself, connected with the head center. You will see how all these pairs of opposites play their part, exemplifying the dualistic nature of our planetary life. 1. The abstract mind and the lower mind. 2. The soul and the lower mind. 3. The lower mind and the head center. Each of them acts as an invocative agent and produces evocation. All act as recipients and as transmitters, and all of them together establish the group interrelation and the circulation of the energies which are the distinctive characteristic of the entire world of force. One point you all need to grasp is that the progressing disciple does not move into new fields or areas of awareness, like a steady marching forward from one plane to another, as the visual symbols of the theosophical literature would indicate. What must be grasped is that all that is ever-present. What we are concerned with is the constant awakening to that which eternally is, and to what is ever-present in the environment, but of which the subject is unaware, owing to short-sightedness. The aim must be to overcome the undue concentration upon the foreground of daily life, which characterizes most people, the intense preoccupation with the interior states or moods of the lower self, which characterizes the spiritually minded people, and the aspirants, and the imperviousness or lack of sensitivity, which characterizes the mass of men. The kingdom of God is present on earth today and forever has been, but only a few, relatively speaking, are aware of its signs and manifestations. The world of subtle phenomena, called formless because, unlike the physical phenomena with which we are so familiar, is ever with us and can be seen and contacted and proved as a field for experiment and experience and activity, if the mechanism of perception is developed as it surely can be. The sounds and sights of the heavenly world, as the mystics call it, are as clearly perceived by the higher initiate as are the sights and sounds of the physical plane as you contact it in your daily round of duties. The world of energies, with its streams of directed force and its centers of concentrated light, are likewise present, and the eye of the seer can see it, just as the eye of the mental clairvoyant can see the geometrical pattern which thoughts assume upon the mental plane, or as the lower psychic can contact the glamours, the illusions, and delusions of the astral world. The subjective realm is vitally more real than is the objective once it is entered and known. It is simply, how simple to some and how insuperably difficult to others, apparently, a question of the acceptance, first of all, of its existence, the development of a mechanism of contact, the cultivation of the ability to use this mechanism at will, and then inspired interpretation. It might be said that consciousness itself, which is the goal on this planet of all the evolutionary process, is simply the demonstrated result of the science of contact. It is likewise the goal in some form or other, and at some stage or other, of all planetary existences within the solar system itself. The unfoldment of this conscious response is, in reality, the growth of the sensitive awareness of the planetary Logos himself. The human mechanism and its ability to respond to its environment, as science well knows, has been developed in response to an inner urge present in every human being and in all forms of life, and the pull and magnetic effect of the surrounding environment. Step by step, the forms of life upon the physical plane, down through the ages, have unfolded one sense after another. One form of sensitive response after another becomes possible as the mechanism is produced, until the human being can receive impressions from the physical plane and rightly interpret them, can respond to the emotional contacts of the astral plane and succumb to them or surmount them, and can become telepathic to the world of the mental plane, thus sharing, physically, emotionally, and mentally, in the life and contacts of the three worlds which constitute his environment and in which he is submerged whilst in incarnation. What he gets out of this life of constant impression is largely dependent upon his power to invoke his environment and draw from it, in evocative response, what he needs in all the various departments of his being. This, in its turn, forces him, whether he likes it or not, to produce an effect upon other people. This can be far more potent for good or evil, and from the telepathic angle, than he likes to think or can conceive. You see, therefore, how these sciences of impression, of invocation and evocation, and of telepathy are naturally concerned with what is inherent in man and in his relation to his environment and circumstances. The germ, or embryonic capacity for all types of planetary contact, is inherent in every man and will not be frustrated in the long run. In this knowledge of goals already achieved in the three worlds lies the guarantee of achievement in the more subjective worlds which are present within the aspirant's surroundings, but to which he remains as yet unawakened and unenlightened. I am seeking to make the matter as simple as I can, for much of the abstract formulations of the occult sciences and the academic psychologists are incident to the overactivity of men's minds and emotional natures. If you can grasp certain broad and relatively simple facts, and recognize that you possess the key or the clue in your already developed capacities, then you will go forward with simplicity, making no undue intellectual difficulties when dealing with these more subtle phases of your ever-existent environment. It is, in the last analysis, just a question as to what impresses you at any given moment, and then in what manner it conditions you. You will see, therefore, how much that I have already said links up with the teaching I have given upon the points of revelation. In the very condensed summation of the science of impression, I touched briefly upon the three great groups of lives that are constantly under impression, and which, in their turn, become impressing agents. There is little that can be added to this theme with profit at this time. What has already been given should be studied and related to the teaching on the points of revelation. As seen in Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, Section 3. Revelation is a generic term covering all the responses to the activities of the eye of the mind, the eye of the soul, and the insight of the universal mind which contact with the monad gives. Sight is the greatest of all the developments in this world period in which the Logos is seeking to bring the subhuman kingdoms to the point where human vision is theirs, to bring humanity to the point where spiritual vision is developed, and hierarchical insight is the normal quality of the initiate sight, and to bring the members of the hierarchy to the point where universal perception is theirs. Therefore, it might be said that, 1. Through the door of individualization, the subhuman kingdoms pass to human vision, leading to mental contact and intelligent impression. 2. Through the door of initiation, humanity passes to spiritual vision, leading to soul contact and spiritual impression. 3. Through the door of identification, the hierarchy passes to universal vision, leading to monadic contact and extraplanetary impression. Each time that there is a fresh vision of a compelling and conditioning nature, it is the result of invocation by the one seeking the new impression. When this invocative spirit is present, the results are inevitable and sure, and the response evoked cannot be stopped. This is the basis of all the success of desire, material or otherwise, aspiration, prayer, and meditation. always we get in time and space what we invoke, and the knowledge of this fact, scientifically applied, will be one of the great liberating forces for humanity.